1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
here for you.
You need anything?
Hey guys, what's up? Let's real talk.
Let's real talk.
Weird week. bad week, I would say.
Very bad week. Yeah, weird is kind of an understatement.
Yeah, but we're here to bring you a little joy.
We are.
A little goofiness.
We are.
And to remind you that people are good.
Naturally and generally, I think people are good.
Specific people are bad.
Yes.
People in general are good. Really.
And people in general want to have a good time. And that's why we're here.
To bring you a song salad.
Which is a random genre of music combined with a random topic from Wikipedia to create a funny song.
And we get the random topic and random genre by spinning the salad spinner, which is a sound effect or impression or noise that we make while we get our topic and genre. And it comes from you, our loyal vegetarians.
This week's salad spinner suggestion comes from, I haven't pulled up any of my tabs.
Ugh, so unprepared. I'll do some waiting music. Do 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 do. We are waiting for Scott's tabs. Do 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 do.
I have the tabs. Okay.
This week's salad spinner comes from
JD.
JD or Chip. He says,
Cher ordering her pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks.
Great. Under the wire, just in time to end October, the official pumpkin season. Cher ordering a Starbucks pumpkin spice latte.
Have you ever ordered one?
Yeah, hello. Am I a white girl? Yes.
I can honestly say I've never ordered a pumpkin spice latte in my life.
Oh, really? But
yeah.
So I know you don't like pumpkin pie, but you do like pumpkin things.
Yeah, but I don't go out of my way.
Mm, I think they're good. I stopped drinking them after they came out. Well, first of all, I stopped drinking them because they have like so much sugar in them.
It's pretty much just sugar, right?
It's all sugar. It's very difficult to like, once you know how much sugar is in it, to continue drinking them. But then also they were like, oh, yeah, the syrup causes cancer or whatever.
Right.
So then I stopped drinking it. And then they were like, no, but we changed it, JK, JK. And now it's like kind of orange.
Okay.
And it wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, people who are more into Starbucks than I am, but it didn't used to be orange. But now if you get a pumpkin spice latte, it's like kind of orange.
I feel like it should be orange, right?
I mean, maybe. But I don't need it to be, though. Like, it can just be coffee-looking and taste
coffee
like
looking.
Pumpkins. Yeah, coffee-looking.
What color would you say is coffee-looking?
Coffee-colored.
Oh, okay, great.
It's like a biscotti.
Oh, biscotti.
Yeah,
fine biscotti with your gabagoo. All right, let's be sure. Let's not be Tony Soprano ordering a pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, let's be sure. Are you going to go first? You want me to go first?
Why don't you go for it, since you have more experience than I do.
Okay, great. Here we go. Give me one of those orange drinks. Oh.
Did you just say lol?
I meant to say like, whoa.
Oh, I thought she was like out loud to the barista being like, lol.
Lol. Cher saying lol.
Give me one of those orange drinks. Lol. Spin.
Spin. Dang, Dut.
Dang, Dut. Back at it again with the Indonesian folk music.
We got an Indonesian folk pop music.
We did. Traditional popular music, partly derived from Hindustani, Malay, and Arabic music.
It's called Dang Dut.
D-A-N-G-D-U-T. One word. It's very popular in Indonesia because of its melodious instrumentation and vocals. Indonesians dance in somewhat similar, good job, Wikipedia.
Yeah, no.
Dance in a style somewhat similar to the Gumar, which is a folk dance of Indonesia, I guess, while listening to the dangdut music, but in a much slower version, and it features a tabla and gendang beat.
So a tabla is one of those, like, either like arm or lap held drums with like a really tight top that you bang on with your hands, and it makes a kind of, and actually this is where dangdut gets its name from, which is an onomatopoetic way to express dang dut, dung duck, dung duck, from when you bang on the drum.
Yeah, and most cultures have some kind of variation of this, where hand percussion has syllables that have been commonly associated with the lower and higher sounds that happen from hitting various parts of the drum.
Yeah.
So I know in tabla music there are, like, I don't know how many different, you know, syllabic descriptors for different types of sounds you can create. I know I took lessons on the dumbek when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And again, the drum gets its name from the doom in the middle of the drum and the bek on the high part of the drum. And then there's also, like, variations within that that are also determined by which part of your hand or your finger you slap it with. So it's kind of fun.
Is that where bongo comes from?
Bongo? I don't think so, actually. I don't know.
Really?
Maybe. Want to find out?
Yeah.
I think the word bongo comes from the Spanish word bongo, which means small drums. So I don't know.
Yeah, but, like, when did, what gave the Spanish the idea?
I can't find out.
Yeah, me either. Anyway, dangdut.
Dangdut. It is very popular throughout Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei. Is that how you pronounce that?
Brunei?
Brunei. And other Malay-speaking lands. So I guess it's primarily sung in Malay.
We gonna do that?
Probably not.
Yeah, I think that would be dangerous.
Yeah, German should be as far as we take that fun little game.
As far as we take it.
A dangdut band. It's probably dangdut, right? Dangdut. Anyway. Typically consists of a lead singer, male or female.
Mm.
We'll see what the topic suggests to us, I guess. Mm. Backed by 4 to 8 musicians. Instruments usually include a tabla, a gendang, which is a similar type of drum, flute, mandolin, guitars, sitar, drum machines, and synthesizers.
So apparently this was coined not only from the sound that the drum makes, dang and dut, but also it was coined by the music magazine Actui, like as a stand-in for the name of the whole genre of music. So like dang and dut are the sounds that the drum makes, and then someone called that type of music dangdut. And apparently it was originally a derisive term, which was leveled by the, like, elites or the rich against the music of the poor. And the so-called king of dangdut, Roma Irama, started using it, and he became, like, probably the most well-known dangdut performer in the 70s, as you can tell by the fact that he's called the king of dangdut.
And he looks kind of like Elvis.
He does.
In addition to Roma Irama, another famous female dangdut singer was Elia Kadam. And the popularity of this music sort of peaked between the 1970s and the 1990s, but does continue to be performed today. And there are major cities, especially on Java, that have one or more venues that have a dangdut show several times a week. And the concerts of major dangdut stars are also broadcast on television. So genre seems to be alive and well.
In it, I guess probably the peak of it was 1975, right? So 75% of all recorded music in Indonesia that year was dangdut music.
Wow.
Nuts.
Very nuts. And apparently there's a strong influence from Indian music,
yeah,
on the basis of the harmonies and themes and beats to the songs. So there were some popular dangdut songs that were influenced directly by specific Bollywood songs.
Mm.
And I think we should use one of those as our example today.
Yeah, let's.
Terajana?
Yeah.
Terajana, sung by the one, the only, the king of dangdut, Roma Irama. Here it is.
akan melihat musik di Indonesia. Iramanya Melayu, duhai sedap sekali. Iramanya Melayu, duhai sedap sekali.
There it was.
It does sound like Bollywood music.
With a little bit more like synthesizer-y interludes going on. And obviously the singing style is different because you're singing in a different language and have different melismatic traditions and melodic traditions within that language. So I like it. I think this will be a fun genre to try and replicate the sound of the instrumentation of using electronic samples that I have of tabla sounds and flutes and things. As far as the vocals go, we'll have to see how we can sort of approximate the vocal style while singing in English.
Yeah.
You feel like we can get a topic?
I think we should get a topic. And I think you should be Cher ordering a pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. If I could turn back time, I would have ordered a tall. There's too much pumpkin spice in a grande.
Who do you sound like? It's not Cher.
Who do I sound like?
It's, I don't know. I think the like, whole hair.
Oh.
What a... It's somebody. Know. Oh, you sound like Michael McDonald.
That's actually, I would say Michael McDonald is probably the closest thing we have to a male share vocally.
Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low.
Spin. Oh no. We're infected.
We've been infected.
We got a computer virus.
From Wikipedia. Who would have thought?
This computer virus is called Actifed.
Actifed.
Tell us about it, Shan.
Actifed is a G2-generated encrypted computer virus which infects .com and .exe files, but not command.com.
So these types of files, if you remember from your childhood, are from DOS operating systems.
Oh, was this from like forever ago?
This might have been one of the first viruses. I don't know. We'll have to do a little more research. But yeah, it affects DOS.
The virus is loaded into memory by executing an infected program and then affects the computer's runtime operation and corrupts program files.
Wow.
G2 is a computer virus creation tool written by Dark Angel of the Falcon Schism Organization.
I cannot wait to find out about this organization.
This organization also wrote the Falcon Schism mass-produced code generator, which was used in the creation of Abraxas and numerous other viruses.
It generates compact, easily modified, fully commented source code of .com and .exe infectors. It also supports the creation of resident and non-resident encrypted and non-encrypted viruses.
Yeah, but what does any of that mean?
I don't know.
It's just nonsense. So I tried to Google Falcon Schism, and then I clicked on the first link that came up, and I got a Google...
Virus?
Well, I got a Google, this isn't good, don't go here.
Wow.
Thing. It says, your connection is not private. Attackers might be trying to steal your information from the IP address of this website. For example, passwords, messages, credit cards, blah, blah, blah. So I can't go. I can't do it.
It's not letting you at all? Like, it doesn't let you say, like, yeah, I'm willing to take the risk?
It just says back to safety, and then advanced is the... And I'm not willing to destroy, to melt the inside of my computer for this.
Let me go get Megan's computer.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Good idea. Kidding.
Let me see if I can find it in any way. We're just doing research, Wikipedes. I found a, like, wiki fandom page.
That's a virus?
A fandom for malware.
Wow. There really is something for everybody.
I guess if you're like a hacker and a creator of computer viruses, you probably have like your heroes that you look up to. And this Dark Angel seems to have been very active and very well known for all the stuff he created, and Actifed was one of the things he made. But I'm not finding much more info on, like, who he was or is and what this Falcon Schism organization actually is.
Well, I found something about Schism.
Okay.
So I guess it was founded by a guy whose handle is Hellraiser, who defined viruses as digital graffiti. And virus writers and were graffiti bombers. So basically it was like leaving your virus tag on something. And Hellraiser's gang was called Schism, which is short for, you'll never guess, smart kids into sick methods.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So what's, I wonder, does Falcone stand for something too?
I don't know, because then they merged with another New York group to form Falcon Schism.
Well, and I've just found that there was a division of responsibility between Falcon and Schism.
Oh, okay.
The three things that this group would do would be hacking, freaking with a PH, which we should find out what that means.
Oh my God.
And viruses. Falcon handled the hacking and freaking, and Schism handled the viruses.
Okay.
Members have included Hellraiser, Dark Angel, Decimator, Garbage Heap, and Priest. And apparently the name comes from deliberate misspellings of Falcon and Schism.
Okay.
According to this book on hacking I just found on Google.
So the information I just read is from a Guardian article by Simon Waldman that came out in 1999, a million years ago.
I just did a Google search for who is Dark Angel Hacker.
You're going to get flagged by something.
I'm researching.
Something from the dark web is going to crawl out and take all of your credit card information.
Again.
Yeah.
I'm not finding anything except for I did find hacking a Dark Angel fanfic.
Oh, no.
Disclaimer, I own nothing related to Dark Angel. Dark Angel is also like a comic book, right?
I guess so. I think that's probably what that was.
We're getting a lot of different conflated stuff.
Yeah, I don't really know how we're going to dig into this.
How do we connect this to Dang Dut?
The Ding Dang Dut viruses.
The Ding Dang Dang Dut viruses.
Got me again.
Actifed is a...
Acknowledge it.
Where are my shorty pants? Actifed's a good title.
Is it? No,
sure.
It's not.
Actifed. You can do a lot with that.
Yeah, but what does it even mean?
No, I
don't
know.
Knows what it means. It's not even that like menacing, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if we could find out like why it's called Actifed.
Well, if we can't even find out what this organization was or who Dark Angel is, I don't know if we can find out why they decided to name a virus what they named it.
Should we just do another topic?
No, we're in too deep.
I know.
And maybe Dark Angel is one of our listeners.
Ooh.
What if?
Hey, Dark Angel, are you out there?
If you're listening.
Don't hack us.
Don't hack us, but tweet at us. Do you think hackers are on Twitter? Probably.
Yes, of course.
No, I mean like publicly being like, I'm hacking this.
Maybe white hat hackers. You know, white hat versus
I do.
Black hat.
Yes, yeah. I went to Spyscape, is it called Spyscape? The spy museum in Midtown?
Yeah, I think so.
It has a great little exhibit on types of hackers and hacking and famous hacks in history and viruses and things like that. But I don't remember reading anything about Falcon Schism.
Yeah, maybe they were relatively small.
Maybe. Clearly effective enough to get Wikipedia articles about their specific viruses.
Yeah.
Or viri, I guess it would be.
Viri?
Yeah, that was in that book that I found the excerpt from. It said V-I-R-I-I.
Really?
For plural of virus.
Does anybody ever say that, though?
That book.
In case you don't know, a white hat hacker is someone who is just like usually hacking or like creating a virus, but in order to discover security vulnerabilities and then like right. telling other people about them so that they can be fixed.
But on their own, not through the government or anything, right?
Yeah, like they're not like a someone at the company who like for example, at my company, I work for a startup and we have a bug bounty program, which is where we like tell people, try to hack our shit, and if you find something, we'll pay you. So it's like a service that white hat hackers provide.
Right. And isn't that also a way that hackers can get out of like jail time and stuff is by like working for the CIA?
I mean, did you just get that from House of Cards?
Yeah. But that's got to be based in some kind of truth.
I mean, probably. Probably.
I'm going to go find all the instruments I need physically.
Physically.
And put them together into my band. And start figuring out what kind of like melodic and harmonic structure we need to go with, and also song structure.
Cool. I'll look up some stuff about lyrics, and maybe that'll give me an idea of an angle to take.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm grooving.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this.
I like this style.
Yeah. I found something.
What'd you find?
I found a scholarly article.
Okay.
And if I could use air quotes around scholarly, I probably would.
Where did you find this?
On the internet.
Oh, so it's real.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's from Health Science Journal.
Health Science Journal.
Yeah, which sounds fake, but it's a real, it's like a PDF. And I was looking for information about, Dongdut, which we found out is how you pronounce it.
Dongdut.
Dongdut lyrics. And this is what I found, which is an article about... I'm just going to read you the title, okay?
Okay.
Dongdut music affects behavior change at school and adolescent youth in Indonesia, a literature review.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is by someone named Betty Agustina Rahayu.
Mm-hmm.
She's a master in nursing, faculty of medicine and health sciences at Muhammadiyah University of Yogyakarta.
Jakarta?
I guess. Is that how you say Jakarta in Malay?
Well, probably.
Yogyakarta?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like a suburb of Jakarta or something.
Her email address is on here.
Oh, good. Let's reach out.
Yeah. So this was published in this year, in the year of our Lord 2018. And it was clearly translated into English by a machine.
Usually.
Because it makes no goddamn sense.
So even though it makes no sense, what do you think her general thesis is?
Oh, I will tell you.
Okay.
Dongdut music is one type of music in Indonesia.
Mm.
The problems that exist today are the lyrics of Dongdut songs tend to lead to sexual and show the norm of impoliteness.
Ah.
Though Dongdut music is heard by all circles, children, adolescents, adults to the elderly.
All circles.
That is the her conclusion.
Well,
so, yeah.
That's interesting.
So basically, she cites... She basically just summarizes seven different studies about how Dongdut mm-hmm. lyrics like encourage bad behavior. And there's also, so something that we didn't talk about before is that there is, Indonesia is a Muslim country.
Yes.
Primarily. And devout Muslim countries tend to be very conservative. And Dongdut has come under criticism in the past for being... too vulgar or yeah. sexual or explicit or just like encouraging kind of like Western immorality, basically.
Sure.
And I think Betty agrees with this based on what she cited.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to pull out some choice.
Well, as you're quotes. Looking for a quote there, I will read from the Wikipedia article about Dongdut. We didn't mention this earlier. Beginning in 2003, certain Dongdut musicians became the focus of a national controversy, specifically regarding performances by a singer named Inul Daratista. And religious conservatives, just like you're saying, described her performances as pornography. So specifically her suggestive style of dancing while performing. And protests against Daratista were led by Roma Irama,
whoa,
the famous Dangdut singer. And he called for her to be banned from television. Legislation was passed in 2008 by the People's Consultative Assembly that introduced a broad range of activities described as pornography, and assumingly that includes those types of suggestive dancing in televised Dangdut performances.
Interesting. Okay. So I'm just going to read some... I'm just going to read some quotes that, keep in mind, don't really make sense, and I don't super think that they support. So this is just a random anecdote that is in here that is not at all connected to Dangdut, but it's in here. Monday, 10/28/2013, there is sad news where some male students in SD Nagiri Kimingling Bangar Lampung swayed to practice the Caesar Joget while opening zipper pants in front of female students.
Oh, no.
Opening zipper pants.
Swaying and opening zipper pants?
Yeah. That is just put out there as evidence that, like, there's moral degradation, but yeah, it, not at all connected to Dangdut. So then she also says a bunch of times that, like, because the music is good and the lyrics are easily memorizable, that it is, like, so easily picked up by children.
Damn your music for being too catchy.
Yeah. So I'm going to read one more quote. There's also a lot of words that, like, I think clearly they just, like, didn't translate. Penaliti see that the dislike of the three informants to Dangdut, music of today, that singers are more concerned with swaying and sexy appearance, and tawdry, because they felt that they had been raised in an environment with Eastern culture. If in the West, sway and clothes like that are still tolerated, but not in the Eastern culture like Indonesia, the majority of people who live are Muslim, so that the values are cultivated from smaller, polite, ethical and moral values in accordance with the teachings that have been embedded from small well in the family environment, school, workplace, and even the surrounding social environment that continuously cultivate ethical values from time to time. What?
I want to just, like, start interjecting in the middle of conversations. And tawdry.
More concerned with sway and sexy appearance.
I'm always concerned with sway.
Yeah, so I honestly, so here's the conclusion.
Yeah.
The review of this literature review gets the result that the Dangdut music is nice to hear, even give the spirit or new energy for the listener. Dangdut music lyrics using familiar language we hear make the child easy to imitate and memorize the Dangdut song.
Right.
While
right.
following the strains of the tone.
The strains of the tone.
What? What is happening? So,
well, I think she made her case.
Yeah, really. I mean, I think obviously there is a limitation of the translation here.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically they're saying that music influences kids' behavior. Like a virus.
Like a virus. I see why. Yeah. We have a connection here.
Yes, we do.
Well, are you at the point now where you're ready to read your lyrics about this?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the music
first?
Yeah,
why don't I do that first so we can end with your lyrics here.
Yeah.
So musically, you found a description of the form of most Dangdut songs. The typical sequence is apparently an intro, A section, another A section, an interlude, a B section, also known as the refrain, an A section, an interlude, and a B section. And usually the end of the song is a repetition of the beginning or rarely a fade out.
Cool.
That's a lot. We're not going to do all that.
No.
So we're going to do an intro followed by a musical statement of the refrain, then an A section, a very short interlude, and the B section, the full refrain. Instrument-wise, I've put together a regular drum beat, because they used a Western drum kit in addition to the tablas a lot of times, or the synthesized drum kit sometimes too. So regular drum kit, then the tablas, and some tambourine, because you can't go wrong with a tambourine. Bass, guitar, sitar. Do you know what sitar is?
I mean, yes, but great. Tell me anyway.
It's a big old guitar with lots of strings from India.
And you have to sit to play it.
Well, it's very big.
Well, yeah. So. Well, but yes, that's what I actually wasn't even thinking about the pun of sitar and sit.
Oh, hey.
But there's a pun for you.
There it is.
And yes, it's so big you have to sit with it in your lap.
Yeah. And it has a very like sort of ringing and buzzy tone to it.
It's like, okay, stick with me.
I'm ready.
The harpsichord is to the piano what the sitar is to the guitar.
Very similar sound, yes.
Yeah, it has a like metal twangy sound bit.
Yeah, very astute.
Thank you.
And then finally, I have an Indian flute called a bansuri.
Ooh.
And synthesizer strings, because it was the 70s.
Stringsicizers.
Stringsicizers. And then I'm going to sing this, so you don't have to.
Thank you. Love you.
Vocal style. There is a good amount of melisma, and we've talked about that before. It's like moving what pitch you're on, but staying on the same vowel sound or same word.
So just Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey in it.
Yeah.
And then a lot of vibrato, too, I noticed, from these singers. Fast vibrato.
Great.
That's my band.
Let me tell you about my lyrics.
Here we go.
So the A section and the B section are considered like distinct sections. And the B section is not like a chorus. It's just like a different section of the music is the information we found.
Yeah. I think ours is going to feel like a chorus.
Because it doesn't. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I digress.
Anyway. So in the A section, I talk about Actifed. And then in the B section, I talk about Dangdut as like a kind of the metaphor of the virus for Dangdut, because the music is nice to hear and gets in your head.
Yeah.
Apparently. Also, Actifed sounds like a pill you take when you can't poop.
It's actually like a nasal congestion medicine. It actually is. Great. I Googled it.
Amazing. Yeah, it definitely sounds medical. Okay, here we go. In .com or EXE, Actifed gives the decree, makes programs run a lot, computer gets so hot, worse than digital graffiti.
Computer gets so hot. And tawdry.
Sway, sexy appearance, and tawdry. Okay, so then the B section is seducing kids and teens, Dangdut is the means, vulgar impoliteness, they cannot fight this, the Dangdut virus in their genes.
Ooh. Their zipper jeans.
Yeah, their zipper pants. I don't mean to make fun of boys exposing themselves to girls, but saying that they opened their zipper pants is just very good.
It also makes me wonder whether it means like they actually undid their flies, or were they wearing like pull away, like gym pants?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like maybe they had shorts on underneath.
Yeah. The like zip off at the knee.
At the knee, yeah.
Yeah, great. Undoing, showing your knees to girls. Very bad. So that's it. That's the lyrics. We do need a title for this.
Let me take a look. Seducing Kids and Teens is not a good title.
No, it isn't. It's an illegal title. It's a title that would get... We've done so many things this episode to get us flagged by some cyber authority.
Exactly.
Dangdut virus?
Dangdut virus is good. Vulgar impoliteness.
What about...
digital graffiti.
What about sway and sexy appearance?
I mean, it doesn't appear in the lyrics.
Yeah.
But
digital graffiti is a good title.
Let's do digital graffiti.
Yeah, I like that.
It sounds cool.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Well, here goes nothing.
Here goes Dangdut. Ding dong doot.
Here is that ding dong doot song for your ears. Hopefully it won't make you do vulgar things.
Yeah. It's called Digital Graffiti.
A Dangdut song.
About Actifed, a computer virus.
By Shannon and Scott.
Active.com or EXE. Active Ed gives a degree. Makes programs run a lot. Computer gets so hot. Worse than digital graffiti. Seducing kids and teens. The mood is the means. Vulgar impoliteness. They cannot fight this. They don't do virus in their genes.
I think there's a new king of Dong Doot.
New king of Dong Doot. And I'm not going to stop anyone from Sway and Tawdry.
Yeah. Scoot. Wooserman, king of Dong Doot.
Sermon.
Yeah, there you go.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot that goes into Dong Doot that we just do not understand and made that wrong.
We Dong Doot and
whatever.
Do
we did the best with what we could.
We Dong Doot it.
We did. And we paid homage to one of the greatest hackers of our generation. Dark Angel.
Dark Angel.
And his beautiful, beautiful Actifed.
Wherever you are, Dark Angel, God bless? I don't know.
Yeah, I hope you're using your powers for good now.
Yeah. Get out there and hack for good.
Hack for good. You know what? That, we should start coming up with some, like, morals and mottos of Song Salad. That's on the list, is hack for good.
Hack for good.
Don't censor other people's artistic expression? How about that?
Ooh, sure, like ours.
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of like a whole country banning a singer from television because of the way they dress and dance.
Yeah.
But you know, that it goes for us too, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
I feel less oppressed than that woman must.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we are quite unoppressed. Yeah.
Obviously.
Obviously. How about, what's another good moral for us? Just do the impression.
Just do the impression.
Don't be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Just do the impression.
You might be going for a share and you come out with a Michael McDonald. You never know.
It's fine.
It's fine. It all works.
Totally fine.
Last moral is follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast.
You can also find all of our informations at songsaladpodcast.com. If you haven't seen our lovely pictures that we put up, we got a new article that came out that listed us as a great road trip podcast.
Yes.
So if you're going on a road trip anytime soon,
if you're traveling for the holidays at all, you can binge our back catalog. We have 132 other episodes you can listen to.
Yeah, because we have free time.
We make free time.
So thanks to Discover Pods and Will Williams for making that list.
You always got our back and we appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Will. And you should listen to Will's podcast. She's a podcast critic and she has a podcast called Tuned In Dialed Up, where she discusses sort of like meta issues about podcasting.
Yeah. I'd also like to thank J. Keith Van Straten again.
Yeah.
If you remember our episode, It only works if you work it.
Yes.
J. Keith was in town and we met up. I had a drink with him. He's a super nice guy. I thanked him in person for being such a great guest of ours. And you should definitely check out his podcast, Go Fact Yourself. It's very funny and interesting. And he talks with so many famous people.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Let's keep the thank yous rolling. Let's thank our newest Patreon donor.
Drum roll, please.
Biddy Henshaw.
Well, you didn't let me do the drum
roll. Oh, sorry. Wait, we'll do it again. We'll do it again.
Drum roll, please.
Biddy Henshaw. Thank you very much, Biddy. She has already been submitting salad bowl suggestions.
Yeah.
So we will get to those shortly. And thanks also to Chip, who is a real life Patreon donor and listener, who came to the city and hit us up and we grabbed a beer with him and he was lovely.
So I guess the last moral here is if you are in New York or come to New York and want to meet us and have a drink with us, we'll probably say yes if we're free.
As long as we can.
So yeah, we honestly do love meeting all of you, and we would love to meet you in person at our live show on December 15th at QED in Astoria, Queens. Tickets are on sale now. I tweeted a link that was bad, and then Rob Paravonian wonderfully tweeted the correct link, and I retweeted that. So you can find that link online, or you can go to QEDAstoria.com to find out more info on that show. Yes. December 15th, come see us.
We are very excited to meet any and all of you. We have met three, I think, of our fans who know us only. Four?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Who met us only from the podcast, and they've all been lovely. We've struck it out of the park on cool fans.
We do have cool fans.
Thanks,
thank you,
guys. We love you.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're not seducing kids and teens.
FBI.
1, 2, 3, 4.